really cool.
So let's answer the first question, which I put in the WhatsApp group. The easy question. The next Tan business is very hard. But let's do the first question. So you have it's very simple. It's a very simple question. It is that we have to answer. It's really the machlokas, but really one side of the machlokas you have to explain, which is so. At what point, when can I allow a korban to remain, that is pasul, to remain on the altar, right? Well, it depends when the psul took place. If the psul took place in the shrita, meaning when the guy shechted it, okay, there was a psul, there was a defect in the shrita and the slaughtering, then, according to that side, I got to take it off, right? If I took it all the way to its fruition and I let it go on the mizbeach, I got to take it off. But if there was a psul in, let's say, the sprinkling, I'm going to say this carefully, not necessarily the zrika on the altar, but let's say I sprinkled some of the blood on the side, so the psul is there, that's what the defect is, and then I afterwards put the korban on the altar, I can leave it there. So why does he make that differentiation? I can't make the question simpler than that. I don't even care about the other side, because the other side's like Rishimah.
Well, one of them is...
But I think what you guys are saying is good, okay? You're saying, like, Yonatan, you were saying that the shrita is koveya the shame korban. Mm-hmm. Or to put it in English, the slaughtering of the animal is now what brings the shame korban into existence, right? Yeah. That's very nice. So now what you could say is that you can argue that the four primary avodas, right, mm-hmm. they all in some way affect the shame korban, right? You know what I mean? There's shrita is the best example because that's the koveya, right? In other words, you'll use shchita as your example because shchita is what brings the shame korban to existence. But you could argue that as long as there is a defect in anything that has to do with the shame korban, right? Any action that affects the shame korban.
Except for the other sprinkling.
Okay, but why would that now it's not zrika. I'm being precise. What's the address of that psul then? That's the key.
So everything up till...
A different way. Why would you say the zrika does not affect the shame korban? I mean, we've been saying the past couple of days, which is clearly borne out, that okay. Zrika seems to be like the culmination, the objective of the korban. So that's one way to look at it. But how else could you look at Zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, to say that it doesn't affect the shame korban?
The start right, of like, Nesila, like a different section of like this korban is now...
Ezra's going down the right path. He's trying to say that so to speak, when you hit the point of Zrika, it's the point of no return.
It's like, who wants to be a millionaire?
If you've done everything correctly, right, so now you're at the point of no return. Right. Okay, but how can we make that more definitive? I think you're right. There is something about the fact that now I'm dealing exclusively with Dom, that I've left the, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but I've left the Hechsher stage, meaning I've left all the things that are required to make sure this Korban's a good Korban. I've done that already. Right, so...
Well, you said the goal of the
Korban. I mean, without giving it away yet. Ezra, I think what you're trying to say is the Shem Korban, you must argue the Shem Korban is sealed or complete when you hit the point of Zrika. Right? Like, once that takes place... The Shem Korban is intact. It's complete, right? So now all you could ever talk about is the psul in the action itself, right? Meaning once you hit the point of Dom, of the actual Zrika's Dom, of the sprinkling of the blood, what you could say at that point is, well, the Shem Korban has been, it's I don't want to say its fate has been sealed, because that's kind of weird to say it that way. But basically, like, in other words, there's nothing to talk anymore. You're not involved in creating a Shem Korban anymore. The reason why the psul can attach itself to the shame korban is because you're creating a shame korban. But once you have the point of zrika, if you've done everything correctly and now you have zrika, so now it seems like what he's saying is that the shame korban has now been established. So if you do something that's incorrect, you can't affect the shame korban. You can say there's a defect in the maisa. But the other ones, the problem and the action are affecting the shame korban itself. Excellent question. So what makes zrika, I've said this, I know I keep asking this question, there's another thing that makes zrika different than the other avodas. Okay.
It's the iker, isn't it?
We said that already. What else? What else makes Zrika very different? What does Zrika do to the korban that nothing else, no other avoda does? Does. Does something very important to the korban. What does it do? I'll make it simple. What does it do to korban shlomo?
It lets you eat it.
Bingo. It creates a matir, right? Zrika is different than any other step. All the other avodas are dependent on each other, right? In other words, meaning that I need to. There's without a shechita, I can't get to Kabbalah. But the korban's still in the state of iser. It's still prohibited.
Zrika has independence on virtue that it like has. That's the last thing.
Right. Meaning only a complete shem korban could ever go ahead and
lead to anything else. It just kind of
bingo. Exactly. So I think that's the answer to your question. That's what makes Zrika different. Okay. See what you're seeing. So Tanan. Look what it says. Tanan. Tanan. Kache kachim. Okay, so now the Gemara's asked a question. The Gemara's question is that, now going back to our Mishnah says, if he shecht in the wrong makom, Me'ila applies. Now we're going to fuse together the business of leaving the korban on or not with the issue of Me'ila. We're going to take those two concepts and fuse them together. So the Gemara, but in a very bad way. So the Gemara says, the Rav Yosef. No, so wait a second. So why is it Nicha?
Right. Because he holds...
Say it.
Rav Yosef holds that that it's Aluv Lo Yored, and all of these things can be Ila.
Exactly. It makes sense. If I have to... If the halacha is I keep the korban on the Mizbeach, it means it's important, and therefore Me'ila would still apply. Simple, easy... Yeah. Okay. But Ella Laraba...
Kasha Mai Molin Ban...
Okay, one second. Before we read the next word. Okay. So the question is, but according to Rabbah, if you're going to tell me I don't leave the korban on the Mizbeach, which fundamentally means that there's no usage for the korban anymore, so why would Me'ila ever apply? Why would Me'ila apply? Okay, that's a great question. That's a great question. It really is. It's such a good question that the Gemara is now going to give an answer that it is so, I mean, Me'ila is where I get benefit, right, from something that's supposed to be used as a korban. Okay.
Or something from the base of Mikdash.
So the question is this. Question is, if you're telling me that if I bring a korban that's pasul, right, a korban that has a defect in it, yeah, I board it all the way onto the Mizbeach, and I'm chayv to take it off, which means, lack of a better term, it's garbage. It's garbage. It doesn't belong anywhere in the Mikdash. So then why would Me'ila only applies to something that's important. Why would this thing is not important anymore. It's like garbage. So why would Me'ila ever apply?
Question.
Okay, Me'ila should not apply. Me'ila applies to things that are important. This thing's not important.
Isn't there like a thing with the Rabbanan?
So the Gemara says, Midrabanan. So it turns out there's a Me'ila Midrabanan. Now you got to realize, this is a very problematic move in the Gemara. Because the Gemara is not, I'm just saying, before we look at the next step, why is this such a problem? Why would I get angry about this?
Because beforehand.
Okay, it's not just that. It's not just the fact that, like, surprise.
It's not like there's any reason to do this.
It's more than that. What the Gemara is saying is, the Gemara is not answering the question in a conceptual way. It's just saying, guess what? There is Me'ila. There's just another type of Me'ila. Me'ila Durabana. Okay? Well, what's weird about that is, and this is something you're probably not used to. Maybe I'm wrong, but in areas like Shabbos, it's very sensible why you have rabbinical restrictions, okay? When it comes to Kachim, when you see the Rabbanans appear, you got to really start scratching your head. Why is there rabbinical enactments inside the temple? And it's not because of perfection. Watch how this works. Because you're going to have to explain what the nature of this Me'ila Rabbanan is. But the Gemara attempts to do that. So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara has a very simple question. Okay. First question, really? Is it Me'ila Durabanan? Okay, so tell me, oh wise Gemara, tell me, what exactly is the difference between Me'ila Durabanan and Deraisa?
It's a weird question.
It is. And it's not the first question you should ask. What should have been the first question? Where do you see Me'ila Durabanan? Isn't it weird the Gemara doesn't go in that order? Very strange. That's the second question. But the first question should have been is, where did this come from?
But it's also strange.
I think what's bothering the Gemara is that from a structural standpoint, I can always see the difference between a Durabanan and Deraisa in their expression in Halacha. Okay? Yeah, exactly. You can see how it works. But here, where exactly, and if you're going to tell me it's a Me'ila Durabanan, right? So what exactly is, how are you going to show me what's going to be in it that makes it a Durabanan distinguished from Deraisa, other than the fact that it's a Durabanan?
Because if it's a suffix, you're making...
Well, but the Gemara is a different answer. I'm just saying,
but why does it have a different answer? Like,
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll tell you why. Because that's not particular to Me'ila.
Why does it have to be particular?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. But I'm saying, but the Gemara picks a particular. The Gemara, in my way, is consistent. The Gemara always looks to, when it wants to distinguish Durabanan, it's going to say something particular in this halacha. But the point I'm trying to make, though, is that the Gemara wants to demonstrate, it wants to demonstrate how this is Durabanan. If you don't have a halachic nafkamina, you're going to have a very serious problem. So, why is this rabbinical? So the Gemara says, Ma'ika, Bain, Deraisa, Durabanan, Deraisa.
Deraisa, Mishalman.
Chomish. Durabanan lo. What does that mean?
Payback. You have to add the fifth.
Okay. So normally when you steal something, now remember, this is where Nezikin, right, and Mikdash collide. So what's the punishment for Me'ila? Or what do you have to do? What's the restoration?
You pay plus a fifth.
Right. You pay X plus a fifth on top of that. The fifth is the penalty. So what better way to distinguish between a Deraisa and a Durabanan than to say what? By the rabbinical one,
you only pay
the Karen, the principal.
Yeah, sure.
It's fine. Okay, I wasn't being snarky. I said fine. Okay, now, that's the easier part. Now, Dovi, the Gemara says, Umi'ika.
Umi'ika, Me'ila,
No, so now Gamora scratches his head, which should have been the first question. Where'd you get this from? You can't just say Mi'ila Darabana, and there's got to be some source for it. This isn't the best source, but go on. No, but no, come on, you got to appreciate what Gamora says. In, there is a source. Yeah, there is. So, there's a source. Now, right, now, what's the source? The Amar Ula.
I definitely have a source. She's in Canada, and she can't talk right now.
Sorry.
That was too slow on that one. The Amar Ula. Remember this statement, because we're going to be analyzing this over and over and over again. But anyway, what's the statement? That the statement is that Kachum Shemesu, animals that die prior to being brought as a korban, or exit, or Me'ila does not apply to them, Devar Torah. It says Me'ila Devar Torah. So the Gemara says, Midor Raisa Lo Islahun. Right, midrabanan ispahun. Hakana midrabanan. What does that mean?
The whole thing we just did about what Mila is and what the spectrum is.
Right.
And... not quite.
We were talking about Daraisa Mila.
Yes. In other words, okay. One second. I know it's bothering Ezra, but I just want you're 100% correct. You just that you went I think too fast for. Okay. In other words, what's bothering Ezra is like this. Okay. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara is saying we deduce there's never a statement. That's why it says in. There's never a clear statement that says. Mila's Darbanan, rather, they deduce it because the fact that it says Me'ila Din Torah tells you that there's what? There's a Torah version of Me'ila, and then if it's not the Torah version of Me'ila, right, then what should it be? Mila Darbanan. If it was just, if there were, or nothing,
wait,
right.
Where did it say Kachemishmesu?
Din Torah is like, doesn't need to say Din Torah. You're right. It could be, so nothing. I agree.
It's funny that we're learning out.
But okay, you're right, but putting aside the laughter, which it is humorous, right? But I understand why the Gemara is bothered by this, because the Gemara is saying there is no clear, you know, Mishnah that says Me'ila Midrabanan. It's
what
like, where's the Me'ila Midrabanan here? Okay, so the case where, okay, Me'ila always applies when the object has a usage. Now, let's say I took Ezra's heifer, right, and I was Mekadesh it for the temple. But I never gotten through the temple walls, okay, and died prior to entering the temple. So Me'ila, there's no prohibition of Me'ila because there's no usage for this animal. It can't be used for anything. So there's no Me'ila to speak of.
And it never gained any shame carbon or
anything. It's technically yes, okay. It has to be because I can't use it for myself.
So Me'ila Darabanan is not like, you know, and bringing it into the...
Hold on. What's Me'ila Darabanan? The Me'ila Darabanan is that it's true that the animal that died has no usage, right? And therefore Me'ila should not apply. But what do Chachamim say? Yeah. Me'ila applies.
So okay, Me'ila Darabanan.
Tosos is bothered by something, and we're going to use... This is, I think, one of our first Tosos we're doing. But I'm introducing you guys to the Biurei Tosos. Oh, we did with Biurei Tosos before, but this is great. I love Biurei Tosos. So, Dovi, if you right, there are two ways you can violate the Isser of Me'ila. What are the two ways?
What, benefit from it?
Okay, that's one. Meaning, let's say I shacht it and I decide to eat it instead of bringing
it outside the temple grounds.
Bingo. Remember that. The other one is I can't bring the korban outside the temple grounds. That is also considered Me'ila.
Fascinating.
What? Tosfos says Divrei Maskel Me'ika. Right, so the Gemara asks a question. Where did you get this Me'ila Darabanan from? Right? Would you make this up? So Tosfos is... I love Tosfos. Tosfos is like... What's the Gemara talking about? Turns out, Vitema.
Vitema, my Kamasma.
Mitama Hashas.
Mitama Hashas. Why is that Hashas not
bold? Because it's not in Tosos. No, it's not. Only the bold words are Tosos. Everything else is the commentary.
Huh.
So, Ein Ikam Huva.
Ein Ika Hula.
Okay, now we don't have to go through all the cases, but the point is that it turns out that there are what?
There are other cases.
Yeah! Like, what do you mean? That's just a surprise that Me'ila's Darabanan.
Like
That's a good question, but there's plenty of precedents in Gemara. There's plenty of precedents for Me'ila Darabanan. This isn't the first time. Like, the Gemara's playing dumb. You know, like, come on. I mean, there's other instances, okay? Okay, for instance, like the case of Dam, that Sheyatzel, Anachal, Kidron, Malimbo, etc. Fine. So also about Efer Chatas. Now look, listen to his answer. Look, see who says V'yesh Lomar. It's a Miyashvim, and then in bold, Vav Yud Lamed. Dove, you see that?
No.
That's on the left column now. Yeah, the left one. In the thinner lines, it says Umiyashvim V'yesh Lomar.
Second thinner line.
Yeah.
V'yesh Lomar.
Right. Fine. Okay, what is he talking about? Anyone figure this out?
No, I think so. But I don't.
Okay. So, let's say in these other cases that Tosafot says where the Rabbanan applies, okay, there's a very sensible reason why the Rabbanan come in with a gzera. And the reason why is because what's going to happen is that people, naturally speaking, right, aren't necessarily so concerned in these areas of staying away from the items, okay, because there's no isser hana, there's no isser of benefiting attached to them, right? So because they're like normally used to engaging with them, so because of that, Chazal are going to come along and create like a siyag. They're going to create like a fence, right? But when Tosafot says, but when it comes over here by Kachem Shachna Medarom, right? Now, what happens if I shach the korban in the wrong makam? What's the halacha? Asur b'hana, right? Now, if something's asur b'hana, the average Jew, how's he going to relate to it?
It's also eating.
Well, no. No, he's not going to eat it. If I know it's asur,
he's going to be like, I'm not allowed to eat.
He's going to want to stay away from it. Okay, in order, because it's asur b'hana. I mean, I don't just mean physically. I mean conceptually, in his mind, this thing is completely off limits. Right, so if that's true, there's no need for what for a derabbanan meila here. What do you protect that? See, that's why Tosfos saves the day, sort of, by reframing the question. What he's saying is the right question to ask is why do you need a derabbanan meila here? Because what are you protecting? In other cases, the rabbanan are trying to protect the potential isser in the system, but here you're not worried about that. Because ultimately, what's going to happen? I already know if I shecht in the wrong makam, what do I know? It's asur hana. I got to stay away from the object. So what do I gain? What do I gain by making kachim shemesu, right? Having an isser derabanan meil on it. The Gemara is not saying we had never heard of meil derabanan before. The Gemara is saying, what do you need a meil derabanan here for? Like, what's the benefit of it? What's the benefit? That's why I start off by saying. There was a reason why I start off by saying, recall there are two Isurim. See, I spent, like, I think a day or so trying to work it out, just as the Isurim Me'il of Hana. But then I realized it's never going to work. But then I realized, but there's another Isur Me'ilah, which is the Isur of taking it out. So that opening might help us explain why there is an Isur Me'ilah Darabanan here.
Are you asking?
But I thought...